listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have Michael Oliver back with me again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Great to be back, Jay.
As I like to tell my listeners every time we have you here, they should go to olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com, to learn more about Michael's work and to sign up for his letter. Well, I should also mention that I saw this very excellent video interview of you, Michael, with, I guess it's, is it Real TV? Real Vision TV?
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. And I would like to tell my listeners to go to miningstocks.com. Miningstocks.com. I put the link to that interview with Michael. And if you really, those of you who listen to Michael here on the show almost every week and want to know more about him and his history and what lies behind his methodology, I think this is an excellent interview to watch. And just go to miningstocks.com and you'll see near the, I think it's the very top link, in fact, on the bottom section on my homepage at miningstocks.com. Click on that and it'll take you right to this excellent interview. And it is about an hour long, Michael, I believe, isn't it? So it's very in-depth. And I think if you're a Michael Oliver fan, it's something you don't want to miss. So, Michael, this is really quite a move we're seeing today in the dollar, in gold and some other things. What are your thoughts now? Have we seen a real shift? Can we say now with certainty that the dollar is in a bear market, or we
no,
need to see a
little verification? I wish I could. The euro, I think you can make the, I look at them both, because mm-hmm. first off, euro's 57% of the dollar index. So it's like having the Dow 30 where one stock is 57%. Okay, so
right.
You got to watch the euro. Euro has crossed levels today in the futures markets, credibly crossed levels that I'd specified at the close of last year. They would indicate to me that its annual momentum has turned up. Okay, that's done. Check it off. But I like a chorus, you know, two, three, trio, whatever. But in this case, I want the dollar to break through a level below it that credibly tells me its major trend has turned down, and that's 99 or lower, especially on a monthly closing basis. You're making your lows for the month today, down around 99.40s. But it's not below 99 on the dollar cash index. So it has not quite crossed the line. It is definitely close. It's playing with dynamite. So I have to say, nope, I got one of them crossed. The other is close. Maybe next month that'll happen. Now, there'll be a point where I don't wait for a monthly close, because sometimes months can be pretty dramatic. You know, you break and you don't wait for the close. You know, you've done enough damage where you start to collapse. I'll come up with a number to cover that for the month of February. But basically, yeah, I think the shift is underway there. Now, if the Forex markets come out of their sleep, and the dollar and the euro last year were sleepy, they were 10% ranges and they went up, down, up, down, up, down, really trendless. And I think they're waking up, and I think the euro is going up and the dollar is going down. I just want that extra bit of evidence from the dollar index. Another piece of evidence that came through today, in my opinion, was the EEM, which is the ETF for the emerging markets. If people have to be in the stock market, and I argue there's four lovely asset categories out there that are very big, and they all have ETFs, so they all have futures. There's no reason to strap yourself into any single one of them, like stocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ancient myth. But if you have to be in stocks, do you remember years ago, maybe five or six, where emerging markets were the place to be?
Mm-hmm.
That soured, and that soured from the 2011 high, and that was coincident with a major peak in commodities. So the emerging markets went down, the EEM went down, all the while the S&P went up. Just total opposites. The EEM was very much reflective of the decline in commodity prices. Makes some sense, because many of the emerging market countries produce commodities and are heavily dependent upon commodity-based revenue. So The EEM today, the end of the month, has broken out, in my view, on annual momentum, which is a significant trend change. That further adds evidence to MSA's argument that commodities are turning up. Last year, the commodity asset category turned, parts of it turned, primarily oil, gold, sugar. About half of the commodity complex turned upward in a way that I consider major. However, foods, grains, meats, and a few other things in the ag sector did not. They laid on their back. I think that's their turn this year, and I'm watching for a breakout there. I don't quite have enough evidence yet with the January action that the grain complex is ready to fully turn. It may be, but it didn't cross enough of my numbers, and I'm very number specific. But I think that's where you're going to get the action this year in the commodity area. That's another part of the tectonic plate to watch. The debt markets, we had some more evidence today, negative, meaning higher yields. The Japanese government bond, and as we know, of all the developed countries in the world, the JGB, the Japanese government's bonds, have the greatest debt, government debt to GDP ratio of any major developed economy. And their bonds were down like a 0% yield, which is ridiculous. Problem is the JGB futures closed today below 150. That broke a major level, a second signal for them that it indicates higher yields to come in Japan, which then puts them in the same category as RT bonds, which broke down in October. That's price I'm speaking of. The Italian debt market is something to watch in the debt markets. Its yields are rising, price is falling, indicates that Draghi's efforts to take its yield and suppress it to a level that was actually below the yield of the comparable duration debt instrument in the U.S. 10-year bond, 10-year note here, compared to the 10-year Italian bond. They got He got the yields below ours. Now, that makes a lot of sense, I know, but that is changing. So the technicals there say, the central bank control over low interest rates is coming undone. So we're seeing lots of plate movement with a few marginal things left to complete the picture, but basically I think it's all coming together.
All right, so we got the T-bond, though, on the other hand, I believe is rallying today as the money is coming out of the equity markets. This is sort of the counter-trend rally that you've been talking about, I guess.
Yeah, I've expected that. I mean, the bonds dropped. We had a 166 level on the T-bond futures as a sell area. They dropped to 148 in about 2 months. We thought at that point they did a little too much too fast, and though they're going a lot lower, a lot higher in yields, but a lot lower in price, they're deserving of a counter-trend rally. We suspected that the best way to get that counter-trend rally is to break the stock market. Now, the stock market is toying with some trading breakage numbers that I've got, but it hasn't really broken them yet. But the stock market is really, if I had to define it, pardon me for using this term, it's the dumbest of all the categories. It's going to be the last one to indicate trend change. And I think that may have to do with psychology of investors or something like that. But many of the other asset categories are indicating the major trend shifts. And I think they will drag the stock market kicking and screaming downside once the reality dawns that investor preferences have shifted toward commodities away from stocks. Investor being long bonds is over with. We're headed for higher rates and so forth. And then when the stocks get that message, it should become obvious. But there's a laggard right now.
Well, higher rates should be bearish for gold, but today we're seeing gold with the weaker dollar breaking out. Now, Michael, I think you were talking, perhaps the last time we had you on, something like 1190 as being sort of a key. If you could see something above that level by the end of the month, that would at least relieve you of any concerns about a major decline from here in gold. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that it wasn't a breakout number so much as it was. Let's put it this way: we had a sharp correction in an emergent bull market. The bull market began in February. It shot up a couple hundred dollars. It retraced back down to what I considered annual momentum support, and it stopped precisely where it needed to, within $4 of a number I did not want to see, and has since rallied $100 off that low. It did close the month right now, at least. We're well over 1,200. So we're back over the three-year average, which is just above 1190, which is while it's not a breakout, it's like a guy putting his elbow up over the curbstone. You know, I'm safe, okay? That in effect is what I consider that to be. There are some other numbers that I'll work with over the weekend or after today's close, that is, at monthly close, that will indicate further upside. The one number that in particular that lingers out there is 1309. That's way up there. That's $90 above the market or so.
Right.
That is well below last year's high, which was 1377. But if you see 1309 anytime this year, put your seatbelt on, because we're going. The speed of the upside will, I think, accelerate dramatically. And so we'll go into that next leg of the gold upside if we see 1309. Now, what's the high been since our recent low? 1220. So I'm talking about a number that's $89 above the recent high. In fact, I think this week's high, I think, was 1220.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right.
It's not that far.
Michael, just with a minute left here now, I know, I think it was maybe the last week, or the last time we talked, that was last week we talked to you, and you were pretty bullish on the gold shares. I think you perhaps they're in breakout mode now, eh?
I think they're the place to be still. We thought that late 2015 that for a change, the gold miners would be gold, and I still hold with that. I think that this bull trend, now maybe there's some point down the road where gold will do something and indicate that it's going to outpace the miners. But right now, the miners continue to do better than gold does. I hold that view that if you want to be in gold, fine, but gold miners are better percent gain potential than gold is.
All right. We'll have to leave it at that. On that happy note, for those of us who are gold bulls, gold share bulls, junior gold shares are on a tear today, that's for sure. And it's, well, it's those of us, you know, we all like to see we all like to make money, Michael, and we like to be on the right side of the market, which is why we like to have you on our show, because you've been very helpful, I think, to me. I know to me, but I'm quite sure to a lot of my listeners, and they should go to MSA, OliverMSA.com, to learn more about Michael's work and consider signing up to his letter. It's not a freebie, but you get what you pay for, as they say. So thanks again for being with us, Michael. And
great
look to
here,
talk
Jay.
To you again,
thank
hopefully
you.
Next week again. All the best.
That'd be good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, folks, don't go away. John Rubino will be with us, and we're going to talk about this this issue. The question of today's show is whether or not who's going to win the big fight between Janet Yellen and President Trump. And that fight has to do with interest rates and a weaker dollar, a stronger dollar. Those issues, very, very important issues. And I think with the remarks today, from the trade advisor the Steve Navarro, I believe his name is, Donald Trump's trade advisor, talking the dollar down today. And, well, this could be a precursor of what's to come. So we're going to get John Rubino's thoughts on that as soon as we come back from break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently processing a 30,000-ton bulk sample. Novo also controls 100% interest in the Blue Speck Gold Antimony Project, where it is conducting a 10,000-meter drill program. The company has over $7 million in cash and enjoys strong shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. Dynacert is a global leader in carbon emission reduction technologies. Created for use in diesel engines, the hydrogen unit has been proven to reduce carbon emissions by up to 40%, increase torque, improve engine oil quality, and provide up to 19% in fuel savings. Our leading-edge technology is designed for tractor trailers, rail, marine, and newly developed for diesel engine cars. Reducing the amount of greenhouse gases provides benefits to the environment, to communities and businesses, and to our shareholders.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.